Okay. I'm sorry. Fine.
Let's see what you have today.
Anybody there?
I'm here.
Okay.
How are you? I thought you were speaking with someone else.
Yeah. I'm fine. Back from a weekend trip, so you know what that's when you get back.
Yeah.
Washing, starting, you know, typical thing.
How is the weather where you are?
Kind of dreary looking, but it hasn't been bad. It was cool this morning. Doesn't seem like winter. We had 2 days where we had freezing, and that was it.
That was about here the same. Maybe a little longer than 2 days, maybe like 2 weeks, but it was nice today.
Our azaleas have been blooming until a week now, and they don't usually bloom until the middle of March. So, they've been gotten full.
Right.
Good evening.
How are you both?
I'm good.
I'm good. And yourself?
Well, Hashem, things are good.
Good. I'm going to go on mute now.
Okay. So, we're starting with section 58.
59.
What do I know?
A lot more than me, I'll tell you that. The only reason I know it's 59 is because my paper is there.
Give me a second. So we'll be starting with Pasuk 312, right?
Right. 58 was just one verse. That's probably why you...
Yeah, and we did that last week, I remember.
Right.
Okay. L'kem yichud good shabri yichu ishkin kei biti lu'urchimu. Liachta, l'shem yud hei b'vav hei b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. V'yehi no'am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nenehu. V'yehi garesh et ha'adam amar Rabbi Elazar la yadana Man aved terukin lemani kud shabarichu avad tarukin le adam ila Aval mila itapis. Vayigaresh et dayecha uman garesh et ha'adam. Adam vaday gairash et. So he drove out the man. Rabbi Elazar asks, who drove whom out? Could it have been the Holy One, blessed be He, who expelled Adam? Because it was not written that Hashem drove man out. Just He drove out the man. The particle et before the man is reversed. It should have been man drove out et. In the words, drove out et, the particle et clearly indicates the Shekhinah. Adam certainly did drive out et, but the words are reversed. Questions, comments, thoughts?
The words are reversed in the Aramaic or in the translation?
In the Hebrew scroll. In the Hebrew scroll. In the Torah itself.
Okay, do you think it was because the translators didn't understand the meaning that it was at that time, that it was Adam himself who was responsible for his action, not Hashem driving him out?
Well, that's the question, because the way the words are written in the Torah, it's not clear who is driving out whom. It's the translation from the Torah is he drove out the man, and then this it's telling us that the word et or the particle et is before the man, but it's reversed. So
I understand that, but what I'm saying is it because the translators didn't know what to do with it? So they...
It's got nothing to do with the translation. It's the way the Torah is written.
Okay.
Hey, if you give me a second, let's see if I can get the verse quickly. Somebody's having some background noise.
Well, it's because I went to grab my chumash and it fell on my foot. And I tried to pick it up with one hand and it did too well. So it was probably my noise.
Okay. So the verse reads in the Hebrew. This is chapter 3, verse 24. Vayigaresh et ha'adam Vayashkein mikedem legan eden et hakiruvim ve'et lachat acherev hamit ha peket li ishmor et derech et hachayim. So if I now look at the English translation, and having driven out the man, he stationed at the east of the Garden of Eden, the cherubim, and the flame of the ever-turning sword to guard the way to the tree of life. So it's just the first part of this verse. going back to the Hebrew. Vayigeresh, and he drove out, et Adam. So Adam isn't the subject based on the Hebrew grammar. But it's also not clear who drove Adam out. Because the word yigaresh means to drive out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we could interpret this to mean that Hashem drove the Shekhinah and Adam out. Because the word et always means the Shekhinah. Or it could mean that Adam drove the Shekhinah out, but it's in the wrong order. It's not clear the way it's written. That's really what the Pasuk is talking about. It's what the Pasuk is questioning. So who drove Adam out? Or did Adam drive the Shekhinah out? And therefore, Adam had to go out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear. The language is not clear. That's what the Pasuk, this first Pasuk, is expressing. Is it clear, or do we need to talk about it more?
No, it's clear. I just had something happen today that had to do with Ed and another student that's in our Hebrew class. Of course, I'm not the teacher, and this person is Christian, and she put on her Facebook page, and the reason I got it is because she's a member of the class, and so the class is, I don't know how to word it, you know, we're all in it. And she gave her, she had quite a big write-up and associated it with being the Alpha and the Omega and the man from Nazareth proving that he was God. And of course, you know, if I wore kippah would twirl on top of my head when I read things like that.
Yeah.
And so I copied and pasted it and didn't feel like it was my place to respond, and I definitely wouldn't have responded on Facebook. But I sent a copy of it to the rabbi and to the teacher, whom I knew he was the one who had us all sign up as a class, so I knew he had read it and or had received it, I should say. And I just wanted the rabbi to be aware of it, because this person occasionally comes to our Torah studies, and she's very vocal. I noticed that the people who come from other religions these days to our Torah studies are very vocal. You know, I'd say in past years they usually were quiet, but not today. They seem to voice their belief system and all. And anyway, and here it is, the lesson for today.
Naturally.
I don't feel I'm to respond to the Facebook or even say anything to her, but I wasn't too sure this morning, but the more I thought of it today, I feel like I don't need to do that. Because, I mean, she has a right to write what she wants on her Facebook page. I don't think it's my own personal belief is she's a guest in our class, and I don't think she realizes, you know, to me it's offensive, and I guess it shouldn't be offensive, but because it's her truth. So until I just have an encounter with her myself, you know, she would approach me about it, well, then I would say something. But I think knowing that that means is also a good word for the Shekhinah. I needed to know that today. So that's why I wanted you to go in a little bit more detailed, and even though it's fairly clear in the verse. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. 3:13. Uginda kitiv vai shalchehu Hashem Elohim migan eden amai veishalchehu begin de gerash adam et kitka amaran vayashken ihu Ashrei lon biatar. Excuse me. Dadiu garem visatim orhin ushvilin. Biashrei dinin al alma viamshis. Levavtin mehahu. Hence it was written before, therefore Hashem sent him out of the garden. That's in the earlier verse, in verse number 23. Why was it written that he sent him out? Because Adam expelled Et, which is the Shekhinah, as we have said. Therefore, Hashem sent him out of the Garden of Eden. It is then written, just as he placed instead of, and Hashem placed. This is because it was Adam who placed the cherubs at this place, because he has brought about the blocking of the supernal paths and ways. Sustenance was withheld. Judgment was brought upon the world, and curses have been upon the world ever since. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I think it's strange that they're capitalizing he each time, because that really seems to have the reader think that with a capital H, that it's not Adam, that it's Hashem.
But that is the way that it's written.
Mm-hmm.
Because look at the first, in verse 23, it says Hashem sent him, small h,
mm-hmm.
which would be Adam, out of the Garden of Eden. And it's questioning why was it sent? Why did was it is written that he, meaning Hashem, sent Adam, him, out?
Mm-hmm.
Because Adam is the Shekhinah, but as a result of Adam expelling the Shekhinah, Hashem sent him out of the Garden of Eden. Hashem mm-hmm. sent Adam out of the Garden of Eden. And then it is written, just as he placed instead of, and Hashem placed. This is because it was Adam who placed the cherubs at this place, because he has brought about the blocking, meaning Adam has brought about the blocking of the supernal paths and ways and the, basically the flow of sustenance. That's caused by Adam's actions.
And the cherubs were the angels that were placed at the gate of the garden to not allow anybody back in?
Correct.
Okay. For some reason, I never associated those cherubs. I thought they were the ones on over the ark.
They are also over the ark.
Mm-hmm.
Cherubs are one of the races of angels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But from the world of Beriah, right?
No, I believe they're from the mm-hmm. world of Asiya, or maybe I have to think about it. But they could be either. They're definitely not from Beriah.
Okay.
I think they're from the world of Yetzirah, actually, because the Garden of Eden prior to Adam being expelled. It was in Zeranpin. Was okay. in the Yetzirah. Although there is a machlochet about was Adam on the physical earth, or was he in the spiritual frames when he was created? And there's a machloket about where he was. But the cherubs are clearly from the world of Yetzirah, not the world of Bria.
Okay. Well, it's almost a repeat of the previous verse, so it's really stressing that you needed to know this.
Well, it's not really a repeat. It's explaining that even though Hashem sent Adam out of the garden, that edict, that judgment, was caused by Adam's actions of sending the Shekhinah out of the garden. When you go back to this, the whole discussion of the curses that God gave to the Satan, we understand what did the Satan do to warrant those curses. And we, from the Midrash, we know why God cursed the earth, because the earth caused the trees to not follow God's order and God's plan. And we understand how Chava had caused the curses that she received. But for many people, it's not clear what did Adam do that caused those curses on him. Now, well, some people will say that Adam was cursed because he didn't accept his responsibility and blamed it on Eve. But here we're being told that Adam expelled the Shekhinah. And that happened because Adam didn't accept his responsibility. And so when he didn't accept his responsibility and blamed it on Eve, the Shekhinah left the two of them because they were in Mechlochet. Which, whenever there's a married couple in argument, there's no unity there, and therefore there's no Shekhinah. That's really what's being explained in this verse that's different than the previous one. I hope that's helpful for you.
Yes, it is. Well, when I say it's imagined, you know, it's a repeat of the other. What I meant was the theme of the thing, not exactly details as you went into it, but I understand that.
Verse 3:14. Ve'et lahat acherev hamid hapeket kol inun desharyan v'kos ve'dinin al ma v'mid hapkin ligavavnin tagi begin li tera'a me al ma Luzimnin guvrin, luzimnin nashin, luzimnin esha milahata, luzimnin ruhin dilet mandakaim, behold the call dalishmor, eterech etchahaim. Dila yosifun liavasha pekad meta. And the bright blade of a revolving sword refer to those who affect judgments in the world. They keep leaping from one shape to another, and from one manifestation to another. They keep changing into many shapes so as to make the world pay its dues. Sometimes they manifest as men, other times as women. At times they are scorching fires, and at times they are spirits, and no one can control them. All this is to guard the way to the tree of life, to prevent them from doing harm as they did before. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, the first part, I thought it was talking about that our actions create judgment, and that judgment can come in the form of people, circumstances like fires and floods and such. But I'm not, that last section, let's see. And no one can control them. All this is to guard the way of the tree of life, to prevent them from doing harm as they did before. That part, you have to explain to me. Give me some insight.
You're right about the first part. Most people, they read this English translation about what is put at the gate to the Garden of Eden. And it's this bright blade of a revolving sword is the typical translation. And it's the two cherubs. But that really doesn't tell you what it is. Because what is a revolving sword? And what is a bright blade? And it's basically saying the effect of your own actions is going to come back to you. It's explaining the boomerang law, that what you do comes back to you, whether it's judgment, it's negative action creates, judgment. Negative action creates negative effects in your life. Positive action creates positive effects in your life. Both of those are really judgment. Judgment is whatever you do comes back to you. Now, the bottom part of this pasuk, no one can control them, because once you do an action, the effect is there. There's no way to escape the effect except through teshuvah. And the purpose of cause and effect is to grow, correct? The purpose of cause and effect, you do an action and it returns to you. If the purpose of that is to grow spiritually, to cleanse the negative actions you do and to receive the benefit of the positive actions you do. But if you were to get to the tree of life, and if you were to eat from the tree of life, whatever these metaphors are referring to, it would be possible for you to destroy the world, as Adam did. And so there has to be a guard on the gate to keep people from abusing the spiritual system unintentionally, because after all, human beings are really children in a playpen, in a sandbox called Earth. And until the children grow old enough to understand the consequences of their actions, they need to be kept out of the away from the tree of life. Because once eaten of the tree of life, that child lives forever. There's no consequence to that child for any action they do after they eat from the tree of life, which is another way of saying Hashem protects all the people who study Torah, because the Torah is the tree of life. Is it clear? Is it confusing still?
No, not at all. And it's definitely what you've been teaching us.
That is,
I always the revolving sword was the Tetragrammaton and the angel barring the gates, you know, and I see it differently now, you know. I mean, even before you explained that, I've seen it differently, you know, since taking the classes.
Yeah, because the revolving sword could not be the Tetragrammaton, because the Tetragrammaton is the name of mercy. The revolving sword mm-hmm. could be Elohim. And if we go back into the Aramaic, I believe you'll see Elohim Hashem within this Aramaic verse. Mm-hmm. I remember reading it.
So it's probably something I was taught before becoming Jewish, I'm sure.
But essentially, the purpose of the guarding of the Tree of Life is to make sure that that we have a consequence, that the world of Tikkun is based on cause and effect. Whereas the world of Zeranpin, the world of Yetzirah, is not a world of cause and effect in the same sense, in the same way. The natural effects, the natural laws in the world of Yetzirah are different. They're similar, but they're different than the spiritual laws in the world of Asiyah.
Very good.
We're out of time, so we'll pick this up tomorrow.
Okay.
At same time.
Okay. Thank you. Shalom. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.